This week is Parashat Shmini. The Haftarah is Haftarah Mochar Chodesh. So make sure they read. Make sure they read the right Haftarah Mochar Chodesh. A lot of nice Torah on the Haftarah of Mochar, the arrows and Shaul and David and Yehoinasan. Okay, it's a beautiful Haftarah. Okay, this week is the first, Parashat Shmini is typically the first week, first Shabbos of Sfira. Even though we're already up to 13, tomorrow will be 14, but Parashat Shmini, this can be the first time we go through, at least in Chutz Li'aretz. Well, last week we also learned already Parashat Shmini. So it's the first time we enter into a Shabbos within the 7 weeks of Sfira.
Not always the case.
No, absolutely not. Not in a leap year, not always the case. But there, in a regular year, this is something which is very standard, which is very, very normal. And therefore, Parashat Shmini is the Haskalah of the Shabbosos of Sfira. I don't know what this means, but just to stir out this idea is that before tell us that the weeks of the Shabbosos of Sfira are special Shabbosos. Sfira in general is a very special time. The purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim is to prepare for Tavdunes Elokim Al Hohor Hazeh. We learned this week, we say these mystical prayers in Sfira Soimer, Kedei L'Taharenu U'L'Kadeshenu, to be to purify us U'L'Kadeshenu. These are very powerful words. Indeed, the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvot says two svarim, among two sections, one called Sefer Kedusha and one is Sefer Tahara. Sefer Kedusha deals primarily with Macholos Ha'asuros and Sefer Tahara deals primarily with Tzaras and with all the various laws relating to Tumah V'Tahara. And it's very interesting that we lain in the Torah these sections, the sources for the two svarim of Kedusha, Sefer Kedusha and Sefer Tahara during Sfira Soimer. We're learning Shmini. This week is dealing primarily with the Macholos Ha'asuros. This is Sefer Kedusha. And then next week is Tazria Mitzora. And then later you have Emor. There are other things which deal with various other parts of Sefer Tahara. Because these are very holy weeks. The weeks between between Pesach and Shavuos is a time of Kedusha Utahara. When you add to that Shabbos as well, that's even more significant. Because since the Torah describes the purpose of Sfira Soimer with the term Sheva Shabbosos Tmimos, we see that there's a relationship between Sfira and the concept of Shabbos that hints, that implies that surely on the Shabbosos themselves of Sfira, the weeks of Sfira itself, which we actually are Shabbos, they have an additional degree of Kedusha. So Parsha Shmini, being that's the first Shabbos in the Sfira, is something that we should not underestimate the Kedusha of these Shabbosos to take advantage of. And furthermore, this week, in addition to being Mocha Chodesh, it's also the middle of the Torah. There are two different ideas in the Torah in this week's Parasha that focus on the center of the Torah, Vav D'Gochain, and the two words, Darosh Darash Moshe, are the middle of the words, the middle two words in the Torah, the middle of the Torah, and Vav D'Gochain, the letter Vav, it's the middle of the Oisiyos, in the middle of the words. Anything that is the center obviously is very significant. You have the middle, you have the beginning, you have the end, you have the center. It's a special moment when you come to the center. It's a time for celebration, a time for to dwell upon in a different degree of Kedusha. Okay, with that Hakdama, let's go to the parasha. Some short ideas in the parasha. The beginning of the parasha we have, I just want to bring out just a simple idea, but it's a very powerful idea to bring to your attention, a Ramban. The Ramban says, after the Betir of Nadav Aviu, after they offered an Eish Zara Sher Lo Tziva Oisam, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Hu asher diber Hashem bikroivai ekodesh." Hashem said, Moshe says to Aaron, "Do not feel bad. Your children were selected for something exalted, an idea which we really don't understand what this can possibly mean." But let me just read you the words: "The makriv in eish sara, batetz eish lofnei Hashem atochelas on mizbech." Vayichu, we'll just go further. Vayomer Moshe al Aaron, "Hu asher dibra Hashem bikrovai ekodesh al pnei cholam ekoved." Rashi, Pasuk Gimel, it's Perek Yud, Pasuk Gimel. Hu asher diber Hashem. Rashi is the obvious kasha. Heichon diber. Where did Hashem say such a thing that the sanctity of the Mishkan will be inaugurated through the Misas Sadikim, a concept that, which we don't know what it means, what this means. So Rashi says, I'll show you where Hashem said these words. V'no'adati shama levnei Yisrael v'nikdash bichvaydi. Al tikri bichvaydi. Don't read it bichvaydi, elo bimchubadi, through my honored ones. Aaron, Achi, Yoidea Hayisi, Hashem told this to me. Hashem said, the Nikdash Bichvadi, Al Tikri Bichvadi, Elabim Mukhubadi, it's going to have to be, they're going to be tzaddikim, we're going to die in order for the Shekhinah to come down upon the Mishkan. I thought, Sheyiskade Shabayis Bimiyu Adav, Shalmakam, Vahayisi Savar, Oibi, Oibacha, either me or you. Something very bizarre. Again, these things, we have no idea what this means. No clue what this means. Now we witness that your children, Nadav and Avihu, are greater than both me and you. Okay, so this is Rashi. So Rashi tells us, Hu asher diber Hashem, indeed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did say the words. V'nikdash bichvaydi, al tikri bichvaydi, ela bimichubadi. The Ramban disagrees with Rashi. The Ramban says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never said it. He never said such a thing. Nowhere it says Nikdash Bichvaydi. That's not what it means, Bichvaydi. It means through my, it doesn't mean Bimukhubadi, does not mean that someone has to die. Hashem never said it. So how then can Moshe say a lie? Hu asher diber Hashem. So Ramban says an incredible yesod. The diber of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not words, it's actions. That any time something happens in this world, whether it's pleasant or not pleasant, is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to us. And that has a major application to us, obviously, is that we are not in a generation where HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks with man. We're not living in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu where HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks with man. There's certainly no literal type of Dibur Hashem. But so according to Rashi, there's no communication. But according to the Ramban, every time something happens in this world, whether it's pleasant or not pleasant, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to us. Hu asher diber Hashem. According to the Ramban, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took these two very great tzaddikim who did not have any sin, even though Chazal say they had these minor imperfections, whatever that means, but they didn't have any sin for which they deserve such a thing should happen. This is obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu has spoken to us through his actions that bekrovai ekadesh. Again, The message was that Hashem, the fear, Rashi goes on, Chazal go on to say, is that they were demoralized. They were terrified. They did not have an appreciation of how demanding a Kaddish.
The message was going to Ramban. Things happen.
We don't know. We have to. There are multiple messages. Every person, every person, kol adam yodei moras chazal say moras nafshe. Every person, when something happens, it's a different message for every person, and every person knows deep down what the message is for him. There's no one message catch-all that fits everything, but every person knows what's bothering him. There's something that he picks up on. Hashem is speaking to him. It's a very powerful Ramban. So every person, kol ish yodea moras nafsho. Every person on his level knows where he needs improvement. Can't general. This is what I've been taught. You can't generalize. I'm not saying my ideas. If something happens, Hashem is not trying to trick us to do anything harmful for us. Every person knows where they need improvement. For some people, they need improvement to daven better, to come early to daven. Some people need not to talk to them. Some people, every person needs to be nizer and kashrus. What?
If you get an individual negative message, that's one thing. Then you know it's you. If the kahila gets
so, it is a kahila. Every person that's affected by an event, there's a message for that person on their individual level. Kol Adam Yodea Moras Nafsho. Every person knows deep down where he needs improvement, and what you need is not what someone else needs. This is not my idea. This is what this from Shutim Ad Maod, and this, according to the Ramban, is Hashem's Diber. Who Asher Diber Hashem? Every single day, multiple times, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to us. Multiple times a day, this pasuk is fulfilled. Who something happens? Who Asher Diber Hashem? According to Rashi, you don't have such a chazal. According to Rashi, maybe you have a different chazal. It's not what the pasuk means. According to Rashi, Hashem actually spoke words v'nikdash b'chvodi. The Ramban strongly disagrees. It's not that strongly. He says, l'dayti, I have another interpretation. Hashem never said anything. But the event, the tragedy that occurred was an implied message. It was equivalent to the Dibur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, let's go to another idea. We're in the middle of Sfira. Yeah.
But to interpret this properly, you have to be like clear.
You have to make a cheshbon hanefesh. You, every person on their level... On their level, every person has the bechira point. Every person knows I should do a little bit better.
We all know that, but we don't know the specific message because it's clouded by our own.
And you do the best you can do. You only need to do the best you can do. That's what it is. Every person can make a list of 10 things they need improvement on, and you can probably take those 10 things and put them in an order. I think the average person can do that. I can make a list of 100 things.
That's why I said this.
What? I'm going to come to that. Okay.
Right.
There's no. Okay. Let's go further. Okay.
Whenever a tragedy happens, you know, the rabbis who their whole lives have fixated on something. You know, some of them are fixated on lashon hara and talking in shul and smears. Whenever something happens, these guys, what they're fixated on, that's the reason. Happens all the time like that.
Every person, we all know this. You go, you see something, it shakes you up. And you feel, what am I going to do? Well, you know where you need to be mechazek yourself. Everyone is different. But let's go further. Now, there's another idea I came across from. I forgot the name of the person. I saw this in the Sefer Kimoitze Shalal Rav. It was called in a hesped. We know that when Moshe Rabbeinu was nifter, the end of Zos HaBracha, the pasuk says they mourned for Moshe Rabbeinu 30 days. And after the mourning was over, Vayitmu Yimei Evel, Vayitmu Yimei Bichi Evel Moshe. It came to an end. The mourning came to an end. Vayitmu, that is a very powerful word. The mourning came to an end. The Rambam has a discussion. The Rambam says there's an average person, you only should cry for a person for 3 days and should eulogize him for 7 days. For a Talmud Chacham, you can cry for a Talmud Chacham for 7 days and you can eulogize him for 30 days. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Talmud Chacham of Gadol Hadar. They cried for him. He was maybe exceptional. They cried for him for 30 days, but that mourning also indeed at one point came to an end. Here, when Nadav Avihu died, our Moshe said to Aaron, you're the Kohen Gadol, you may not leave the Beis HaMikdash, you do your thing, v'acheichem b'nei Yisrael, leave the mourning to Klal Yisrael. Your brethren, the b'nei Yisrael, yivku, they will cry, es hasreifa, asher saraf Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu did not give a cutoff date. So this was a hesped that was said about Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, but it's not. But we can just apply this particular idea that it says in the Sefer Kimotzei Shalal Rav. When the difficulty is, why by Moshe Rabbeinu did the Torah go through the effort of telling us that the mourning came to an end by Yitimu, and why the tragedy of the Misas Nadav Aviu is there no mention of the end of the crying? V'acheichem b'nei Yisrael yivku es hasreif asher saraf Hashem. And the answer is pretty obvious. When a person dies, kederech kol haaretz, a normal death that can be expected in the time in society, okay, 120 years, halavai, it's not 120 years, whatever it is, shivim, shmoinim, 90, whatever is expected. And so then, if the person, even if he's the gadol hadar, the greatest of the great, there's no one that was greater than Moshe Rabbeinu, the mourning comes to an end. There's mourning, 30 days, it comes to an end. But when a tragedy happens, when someone leaves this world before their time, prematurely, There's no end to the mourning. Nadav v'Avihu died way before their time. V'Acheichem, this is the mother of all tragedies in this week's parasha. Nadav v'Avihu, v'yakrivu eish zorah shalotziv ha'sam, v'teitze eish b'fnei Hashem, and they were nifter. Our Moshe said to Aaron, the mourning is open-ended. V'Acheichem b'nei Yisrael yifkues ha'sreif asher sodaf Hashem forever. And indeed, every year on Yom Kippur, Chazal tell us, we lay in the parasha of Acharei Mos Shnei Vinei Aaron, a person should do his best to cry for the loss of Nadav Avihu. We're dealing over here 3,000 years since it happened. Why are we still in the state of mourning? Moshe Rabbeinu, we only mourn for 30 days. Let's get over with it. Let's move on. There are other things to mourn, to focus on. Tragedy, someone before their time, it never comes to an end. This pasuk, this here, people, this parasha is always the first parasha of the Sfira. The Sfira is historically a very difficult time, starting with the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 Talmidim, the best, the finest of Klal Yisrael, and they all died. The world, there's no question, the world would have been a very different place had the 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva not perished. Rabbi Akiva was able to rebuild the whole world with 5 Talmidim. As someone in the Farshim say, if he was able to accomplish what he accomplished with 5 Talmidim, to bring the whole Torah Shebaal Peh, everything that we have today comes from the 5 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, the Tosefta, the Sefra, the Sefer, everything that we have is all in the name of these 5 Talmidim that he rebuilt the world after the death of the 24 Talmidim. Could you imagine what would have been had we had 24,000 Talmidim? It was a tragedy that was beyond our understanding, and therefore at Hayom Hazeh we're still mourning over the tragedy. The Crusades happened over 1,000 years ago. During this time is the time of the Crusades, the great tragedy of the Crusades happened between Pesach and Shavuos. Of Harachamim, we say of Harachamim the whole year. We focus on the Crusades the whole year. Purim Beis Hamikdash, we focus every year Tishrei the whole year. It's not in. It's 2,000 years. There's no end to the mourning. Holocaust. Okay, yesterday, many people observed Yom HaShoah. There are many, whether you observe it or not, it's not a coincidence that Yom that Klal Yisrael, many people in Klal Yisrael are observing the Holocaust. Against the backdrop of Parsha Shemini, where we focus on the tragedy, it's a tragedy that has no end. It's a very fascinating when you just take a tragedy, okay, you're going to mourn. But when you contrast this pasuk with the mourning of the greatest of the great of Moshe Rabbeinu, it takes on a whole new perspective. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, there was no one greater than him. But yet Moshe died a natural death. He died 120 years old. In the Shikas Hashem, he died. It was a tragedy. Okay, you mourn, the mourning comes to an end. But someone who dies before their time, the loss is so great, that tragedy can never go away. And it's definitely something to focus on during the Yimei HaSvira. Okay, let's go to another morose idea. We have over here the word Hanosarim. Twice in this week's parasha does Moshe Rabbeinu speak to the Bnei Aaron, to Elazar v'Isamar. The first time he speaks to them, he just says their names. Right after the tragedy, let me find the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vateitze Eish, Vayomer Moshe El Aaron, Ke Vayikra Moshe El Mishol V'Al Tzafa." That's not the one I was referring to.
I think it's 10-6.
Thank you. Vayomer Moshe. This is right after their bodies were removed from the Kodesh HaKadosh. First, Moshe spoke to Mishael and El Tzafon. Kirvu su esachichem yes mi HaKodesh. Take them out. Okay. Then Moshe says, Vayomer Moshe El Aaron, Ul Elazar, Uli Isamar Banav, his children. They're just called Elazar v'Isamar Banav. They were 2 of 4. None of you have died. There are 2 left, 2 more. Elazar v'Isamar Rosheichem al Tifrahu. Don't mourn. Yimei HaMiluim. You're not allowed to mourn the loss. Everyone else will mourn the loss. Rosheichem al Tifrahu. Uvideichem lois Tifraimu. Veloy Samusu. Ve'al kol hoedah yiksav. You're going to mourn. There's going to be a lot of problems. Ve'achichem in the kol beis shol yivkur es hashem. Okay. Then the next parsha, Vayidaber Hashem el Aaron lemar yayin v'sheicha. We're going to make now new takonis. I don't want this to happen again. We're going to make new gedarim, and the first new gedar we're going to make is Kohanim may not enter the mikdash in a state of intoxication. Fine. Ulhoyrois es bnei Yisrael eis kol hachukim asher diber Hashem, and the pasuk also mentioned ulhavdil bein hakodesh ubein hachol bein hatama bein hatar. And then the next pasuk, beginning of Revi, Vayidaber Moshe el Aaron v'el Elazar v'el Isamar bonov hanoisorim. The leftover children. So a lot of the commentators ask the question, why here, after the parish of Shesuya Yayin, are now they called the Bon of Hanosarim? They are the survivors. Whereas, after the tragedy, even after the bodies were removed, the bodies were buried, and they got on with the program. The program went on. They went on and they were instructed, continue, proceed. They're not called survivors. My high. What's the difference? So the difference, the very powerful Musar Haskalah from this, the difference is because right after the tragedy, even though the bodies were removed and the bodies were buried, and the program continued like nothing happened, the lessons were not yet learned. New takonos were not enacted. Moshe Rabbeinu did not yet teach them about Shesuya Yayin. Did not yet teach them Lahavl ben HaKodesh ben HaChol ben HaTomi ben HaTar. They were not yet Gedorim to protect the tragedy from happening again, have not yet been set up. No one's a survivor. Everyone is still vulnerable. What happened to them can happen to you. Just because there was a tragedy and the tragedy is over and the bodies are buried and it's business as usual, you can't say, no, it happened to them, it didn't happen to me, my life goes on as is, I'm a survivor. Survivor today means a lot of things today. I'm a survivor, hanosarim, business as usual. No such thing. The lessons have not been learned. You're vulnerable. You're not a survivor. You're subject to the same einish, the same thing that happened to them. After we now make takonas, yayin v'sheich ral teisht, at uvonech itoch, b'voyechem alo moed v'loy samusu, chuka aslam doroseichem, ula havdil, these are a whole long set, these are very deep takonas, ula havdil, bein ha-koydish v'bein ha-chol, bein ha-tom, bein ha-tor, ula ho-yroyis v'dei yischol, each one of these psukim is filled with deeper meaning of takonas. Oh, now we've learned the lesson. We've made changes in our daily lives. Now you're safe. Now you're safe. Now you can say, what happened, happened. I'm a survivor. It's not going to happen to me. Now we can say, Elazar v'Yisamar bonav hanosarim. Okay, and this is a very powerful, scary lesson. Rachman, so we hear about, we hear bad news. So we just click on the next, on the next piece of news, and it's business as usual, and we say to ourselves, what happened to him is not going to happen to me, I'm above and beyond this. That's a dangerous attitude in life, because everyone is vulnerable. No one is safe. The only way you're safe is if you take seriously what has happened and incorporate it into, and learn some mussar from what has happened and change your ways. Then you can say about yourself, I'm safe, I'm a survivor, it's not going to happen to me. Yes.
Yeah, I know it's off the topic, but it has to do with the topic. At the end, Moshe Rabbeinu said he prayed for Aaron and he was able to save two.
Yeah.
And the question always came up and it bothered me, and I've got a clear answer. Why he couldn't save all four?
So the Chazal say Tfil only helps for half. It's a fair Shah Chazal. Tfil only helps halfway. No free lunch. No free lunch. It's Chazal. It's a scary Chazal. You can be mispalel, but Tfil is not going to help more than half.
Rabbi Schwab makes a very good idea, because there are so many different reasons given in the Gemara. So he says that one more, but Basra says that's because Shalom Nasim. So why? What happened over there? That no, actually, the Zayr originally was on all four sons,
right,
for the Chet Egel. That all four sons are supposed to die, but the reason only Nadav and Aviv died
Tfila
was they were married. Moshe interceded and said they have wives and children who depend on them.
The daughter-in-laws didn't deserve it.
Nadav and Aviv are not married.
They are married, so they didn't have protection. It was collateral damage. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes into consideration HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes into consideration collateral damage. It's not like government. The laws, it's not possible to take into consideration the collateral damage. A person suffers, his whole family suffers with him, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes into consideration, that's why they were spared. Okay, let's go to another idea. Now this parsha deals with the mother of all tragedies. Every tragedy in this world that ever happened can be traced back to the ultimate tragedy of the death of Nadav Vaviyu. And we all struggle, we're all affected by tragedy. There's no one in the world is spared from bad news. And it's extremely difficult in dealing with tragedy. This is the challenge, the great challenge. So I want to just throw in an idea, Rashi Prakim, something to Rashi Prakim. It's not a complete idea, half-baked idea. The word the Torah uses to deal with tragedy is the word kirvu. Let me go back to the pasuk. Okay. The fire goes forth. Okay, so now Moshe first deals with the closest relative to Aaron. I'm not going there. Okay, Aaron is in a different category. Aaron, this is his children. You can't even deal with it. That's something that's beyond now the topic of discussion. I wouldn't even dare go there. I'm talking about the average person. I'm talking about the person who's not directly affected. People, you read in the news, you don't know the people, you have no idea who they are, your heart goes out. How in the world did this happen? Why did it happen? All different types of tragedies. And like, you're just stunned. Do I know the guy? I don't know him. I never saw him. But you feel bad. You're not in the category of Ayida and Amaro, because that's only the close. Here, Moshe now deals with the rest of Klal Yisrael. Vayikra Moshe el Mishrael v'el el Tzofan to Mishrael v'el el Tzofan b'nei Uziel Dod Aaron, a long description of who they were. These were his cousins. Vayomer Aleihem, how are you going to deal with this? Aaron, forget about. He's Vayida and Aaron, and we're not going to go there. But how are you? You're not the closest relative. So he says, Kirvu, go close. Su'us achichem, pick up their bodies, pick up your brethren. Me'es pinei hakodesh, from the face of holiness, el michutz lamachane. And they listened. Vayikru, they went close. Vayisu michuta nosam, el michutz lamachane kasher diber Moshe. The word kirvu is a very unusual word, because there are two ta'anim. There are two musical notes on the word kirvu. There's a t'lisha kitana, and there is a gershai. Well, t'lisha? No, kitana.
No, to the gedola.
It's the beginning of the...
It goes that way. It's gedola.
That's kitana. Wait a minute.
I looked at it.
I'm sure you're right. You're right. It's t'lisha gedola. You're right. It's a t'lisha. You're right. It's a t'lisha gedola. You're right. I apologize. T'lisha gedola. Okay, t'lisha gedola. And then there's a ger shayim. Fine. There are two different, and because musically it's impossible to do the t'lisha gedola before, even though in the pasuk the note of t'lisha gedola is first, and then the second, the end of the pasuk is the ger shayim. It's not possible to do those the notes in that order. You first do the ger shayim, and then you do the t'lisha gedola. And in fact, this the note that we have today for t'lisha gedola, t'lisha katana, is very modern. It's very recent. So the note, the symbol for the notes in the old there in the old chumashim, the symbol for the t'lisha gedola, t'lisha katana that's a discussion of it by itself. But that's not the point I want to make. There are two different notes. And in fact, Chazal comment on why. Is there any other word in the whole Torah that has two different notes?
Zeh,
it also has two notes.
Same notes.
Two notes. So there are only two places in the Torah. But let's focus here. There are two notes. A Tlisha Gedola and a Ger Shayim on the word Kirv. Now, it's interesting to note, a Ger Shayim means to drive away. It's a very, there are many svarim that darshan the trup. Every time we have really musical notes, there is commentary. When one listens to the person laning, and he lanes with one of the ta'amim, he's giving commentary. We don't appreciate the commentary. I once saw a sefer that darshan every single zarka munach segel in the entire Torah, telling you the significance of why upon this, a little comes why the significance, it usually means something bad. That was the theme. It means something terrible happened. And he showed in Chazal the significance of every Zarko Munach Segel. But here there are two, this very, so Chazal indeed comment, that's very weird, very unique, and they say, when you ask someone to do something, you have to ask them twice. When you ask a person, let's say, to daven for the Amud. So the halach is, you're first supposed to say, me? I'm not worried to daven. And when the gabbai says, no, no, we really need you, you're not supposed to give him a hard time. He's supposed to go up and daven for the Amud. Second, even the third, but the Chazal darshan, that you ask the Moshe, ask them twice. The first time they didn't want to go, the second time they went. That's the simple interpretation of why there are two ta'amim. I want to try to suggest something a little bit deeper. It's interesting that the word kirvu means to go close, to come close. Talisha gedola means to uproot. A large, a tlisha, to remove yourself. And ger shayim comes from the word goresh, which means to drive away. Not just to uproot, not just to separate yourself, but it means go far, far away. Goresh es ben homo hazos, ki lo yirash im bini im yitzchak. Yeah, that's what Sarah said. If you look very carefully at the pasuk, so these things are very different concepts. The word itself means nearness, closeness. The first trap has a connotation, Talisha, Gedola. Talisha means to uproot, to remove yourself. It doesn't mean to go far, far away. It doesn't mean to distance. It just means stand back, Talisha, Gedola. Stand behind the red tape. And then there is Ger Shayim. I don't want to see anyone on the street. Get off the street. Don't be in this location. Get away. Three concepts which are related as far as closeness is concerned. The word itself coming close, Talisha Gedola, and Ger Shayim. Moshe Rabbeinu, he told them to do three things. He told them, number one, I want you to go close. Then he goes, what are the three? Number one, Su'u es acheichem. Now, Su literally means, the word Su means to elevate. Su, there could have been other words being used, kach, or kach es ach, take. We could have used the word kach es achichem, take your brethren out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim and bear. He said, Su'u, uplift them. Then he said, m'eis, from where? The Pnei HaKodesh. From the presence of holiness. And then the third expression is El Michutz Lamachaneh, far, far away. And indeed, they did all three. It says first, Vayikrevu, they came close. Then it says, Vayisu'um Bichutonosam. And Rashi says something very unusual. Bichutonosam implies they died a very holy death. Their bodies were intact, and their neshamas were burnt. Their clothing was still part of a person burnt. Normally, the clothing are burnt. The clothing were not burnt. Rashi here says it was a very holy death where shalom nishrifu b'gdeyem ela nishmasam kimin shnei chutim shal eish nichlasu l'soch chutmeim. There's something very holy that happened to them. It wasn't just an ordinary death. And then it says el michutz lamachaneh. It appears here the pasuk is addressing that there are three different things to work with in tragedy. Number one, the victims themselves have to be given their proper respect. Su'u es acheichem. Su'u es acheichem means forget about yourself. Achmanos son is a tragedy. The first thing is the victims of the tragedy, or the people that are, they have to be dealt with. If a person is sick, you got to forget about how you feel. Oh, I feel so, I'm nauseous. I can't deal with this. Put aside all of your feelings. Uplift the person, Rahman al-San, was died. They deserve a proper hespedim. They deserve a proper kavur. They deserve a proper kavod ames. Person is sick. He deserves the best treatment possible. Person, something had some, who knows, some bilbul, some something happened to him, whatever it is. He deserves, he's also a person. He also has rights. He also deserves to be taken care of in a respectable way. Su'u es achichem. Put aside your feelings. The next thing it says is me'eis p'nei kodesh. Me'eis p'nei kodesh, take them out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Don't take them, don't bury them yet. Take them out, which I'm trying, and it's a half-baked var, which means try to find for yourself a holy message, a lesson. not, of course, to blame anyone, but how could such a thing happen? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to us. Every person, there's a message. There is Pnei Kodesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is a holy presence here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to Klal Yisrael, speaking to man, is telling us to tshuva, do something, just work on yourself, whatever it possibly is. And then the third level is, it comes a point in time we got to get on with your lives. El michutz lamachaneh. You have to come a point in time where you have to let go. You have to let go, and it has to be michutz lamachaneh. You have to take the bodies, whatever this situation has to be, you have to take the event, put it behind you. Don't live with the baggage the rest of your life. There are three, very clearly in the pasuk, three messages. And in the trump itself, there are three messages. Kirvu. There's a tragedy. Deal with it. Come close. Give the respect, the attention it deserves. The second message is Talisha Gedola. Talisha Gedola, I'm trying to suggest, fits into the second, means just to separate yourself a little bit from it. Okay, I don't have a clear, I'm trying to, it's the Pnei Kodesh, is try to find some deeper meaning in there. And then there's Ger Shayim. Ger Shayim means it comes a point in time, get on with your life. Go forward. You can't live in the past. Unfortunately, we see some people, they just can't get on. They have a problem in life, they're stuck with it, and they live with it the whole life. That is also a very unhealthy thing that the psychologists tell us. You have to go mechutz lamachaneh. I just want to throw out this idea, this pasuk here, to review and summarize, according to Chazal, is the mother of all tragedies. And if it's the mother of all tragedies, obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Torah, in its infinite wisdom, is telling us how to deal. And when it's telling us how to deal with tragedy, it's telling us there are three things. The victim, the one who's suffering, has to be dealt with. Number two, a message has to be taken. Pnei Kodesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's holy face. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu trying to speak to us? And the third message is Michutz Lamachaneh, get away from it. Finish, go on with your life. Okay, let's go to another idea.
Shlissel
Challah. I did not prepare anything on Shlissel Challah. Sorry, maybe we'll do a shir on that this week. Shlissel Challah. We did that last week. Just make sure the key is clean. Okay. Chamira Sakanta Yosef Meisura. Okay, let's go to another. This week's parasha we learned about. I saw a beautiful idea, a beautiful vart in the Sefer Kimoitse Shalul Rav. It's a beautiful vart. We learn in this week's parasha the sugi of Herev Shemesh. A very bizarre concept in the laws of Tumah V'Tahara. It's really the first Mishnah Masechta the Brachos. When a person goes to mikvah, so just because you went to mikvah does not mean that you're tahar. You go to mikvah, the tumah, there's residual tumah. You have to wait until the sun sets, until the day is over for the tumah to lift. And then where do we learn this from? This week's parasha. At the very end of the parasha, when a person comes in contact with tumah, you can go to mikvah, and just because you go to mikvah, you're not finished yet. Now we see, this week's parasha, Achmayin here, this week's parasha, V'chiyipol minivlosam al kol zer zirua asher yizor, V'chiyomus minabahema asher hilacham liyachla, anagibnoz yitma ala orev, anagia binivlosa yitma ala orev. Three times. Okay, so it says for the very first time in this week's parasha, this concept when the person is tummy, you can go to mikvah, but guess what? Even though you go to mikvah, that takes away the primary tumah, you still may tummy until the sun sets. Why is that so? So the Mefarshim explained the reason why that's so is because the roshim is still there. A person goes through an experience of contamination. You can go to the mikveh, you can do all you want, but the impression of being tummy, you were tummy that day, does not go away. You need time heals all wounds. You have to distance yourself from the event through time in order to take away that rush. Now, using this idea, so I saw in the Sefer, he explains that's why the very first Mishnah of Shas begins with the concept of Herev Shemesh. The first Mishnah in Shas is Me'emosai Korin Shema Ba'arvis. When do we read Shema in the evening? Why do we describe reading Shema in the evening? Why, shouldn't we really begin with Shema in the morning? What, if you were writing, if you were given the task to Mishnah, you would have
the day begins
at night. It's true, but when it comes to first mitzvah, so those are all answers after the fact to some degree. But there are many things in that. Look, where does the sitter start? Did you ever see a sitter start with Ma'ariv? It's a very tough question. Why don't our sidurim begin with Ma'ariv? They start with Mincha. They start with candle lighting. Okay? The average sitter, I've yet to find the sitter that begins with Ma'ariv. Why not? Think about it. If you were given the task to make a sitter, You might just do that. You might just go put people who have never seen a sitter, put them in a room, teach them about yadus, and they should make a sitter. A good chance they'll have a start with that. Why does it start with shachris? Obviously, there's certain things in halakotchim, the day follows the morning, the night follows, the night is later. There are certain things. So, it wouldn't be such a kasha if shas began with kriyashma shal shachris when it's light. This is the main kriyashma. You know, at night is dark, it's gullus, it's not a good simon. It's a good kasha. So the answer is, because we think when Shas begins with a new beginning, the message of Shas, the beginning of study of Torah, the message of everything in life is, it's not about new beginnings. It's about renewals. There's a very big difference between starting for the very first time and renewing yourself. Torah is not meant to start and end. When you have a start, that means you come to an end. And when it's over, it's over. That's not what Torah is about. Torah is about cycles. It's about renewal. When do you say Kriya Shema Ba'arvis? Why do you have to say Kriya Shema altogether at night? I said Kriya Shema in the morning. Almost all mitzvahs that we do it once and we're done. You do it once and you're finished. Why do you have to do Kriya Shema at night? The answer is because it wears off. You mekabel ol malchus shamayim by day. It wears off. You need to refresh yourself. What is the example Chazal have chosen in the very beginning of Shas to show that things wear off, that the impression lasts only for a certain amount of time, but ultimately wears off? Harif Shemesh. The very first halacha in Shas is, Me'emosai Korvet Shema Bi'arvis. When do you recite Kriya Shema? Meaning, what does the Gemara really mean? When does the Roshim, the impression, the experience of Kriya Shema B'Shachris wear off? When do you need to renew yourself? When Kohanim experienced Harif Shemesh, a Kohen was Tomei. He did everything he could possibly do. He went to Mikvah, he said Tehillim, he got a bracha, he did everything you could possibly do. But he still had the experience of being Tomei. When that Roshim, that impression of being Tomei wears off, Harif Shemesh, now you're ready for Tara. Take that concept and apply it to Dvarm Shebi Kedusha. You do a mitzvah, wonderful. But guess what? Hashem made the world where mitzvahs only last that long. A mitzvah, the roshim, a mitzvah makes upon a person, it wears off. You have to refresh yourself. You have to renew yourself. You have to recite Kriya Shema Ba'arvis because at night, when you come to a new tkuf, a new point in the day, the roshim, the impression, the Kriya Shema Shachris has worn off. It's time now to refresh, to renew yourself. And the only concrete example, where you have this in halacha, is the concept of Harif Shemesh. So this halacha teaches us the concept of renewal, but also puts a whole new focus on the beginning of Shas, that Shas is not a time of a new beginning, but rather it's a time of refreshment. Okay, let me jump to another idea. This idea I found to be very, we all know the halakha, we have all, this week at Pasha, we have all the various birds. The birds are not kosher. And among the list of birds that are not kosher is the da'ah. The da'ah, dalid, aleph, hey. Problem is, the Gemara takes note that in Parsha Asra'eh, where all the birds are repeated pretty much, there is no da'ah. Instead, there is a bird called a ra'ah. So Chazal say it's the same. The Reish and the Dalet are close enough, just a little teeny dot, and they're really the same. And the Gemara goes on, and why is it called? What?
Ruel and the
Ruel. Well, the other exhibit. But why is it called Ruel? Why is this bird? Because this bird has the nature, it's a non-kosher bird, it has exceptionally good eyesight. It can see in Bavel what's doing in Eretz Yisrael. It can see a Nevela. It's Oymed in Bavel, and it can see a dead body, a carcass in Eretz Yisrael. The Chazal, the Bali Musar say, everyone, I'm sure you've heard this far, that's why it's not kosher. Anyone that sits in America, that sits in Bavel, and starts telling you about all the chesronos of what's doing in Eretz Yisrael, big talker. Why don't you come to Eretz Yisrael and be a partner, be participate in the building of the country? It's easy to shoot from the hip, to go and sit in when you're standing far away and you see the chesronos. That's a mida, a disgusting mida, and that's why this bird, which has the mida, it's ra'ah. It's in Bavel. It sees what's all the chesronos and the dead bodies, the carcasses, the nevelos in Eretz Yisrael, but it can't go to Eretz Yisrael. It's too far away. It can't travel that distance, but it can see what's going on. This is a bird which is a non-kosher bird. All right, very nice. I think we've all heard this part at some point in time. But the question, what I saw new this week is, why, that's very nice why it's called the Ra'ah. But why is it called with a Dal? That explains why in Parshas Re'eh it's called a Ra'ah with a Resh. Why in Parshas Shemini is it called a Da'ah with a Dalet? And they are in fact the same bird. So the answer is a very powerful Liman Musar. Is because, what does Da'ah literally mean? It means swiftness. For example, Ka'asher Yideh Hanosher. Like the eagle swoops down swiftly. I don't think there's any creature that can travel at lightning speed like the Nesher. The Chazal say, the Nesher, what do they think, 400 miles an hour?
When it dives.
200 miles an hour. Can you imagine an eagle that dives down 200 miles an hour? That's Kasha Yideh. Kasha Yideh. So the Bali Musa say as follows. They take the word that we just said and they connect it to this concept of swiftness. It's not such a bad thing to see the Nevelos in Eretz Yisrael when you're sitting in Bavel. What do you expect? We're only human beings. You go online and you read some bad news. Some news, so you see some corruption. You see some Lashon Hara. Listen, to every single person that sees and reads some bad news, what's going on far away in someone else's backyard. So you automatically, you're called a Ra'ah, you're an evil person. Chas v'shalom. What do you want from people? This is Kachi Darka Shalayla. The problem is that when the Ra'ah is also the Da'ah, is that when you're eager, when you're swift, when you're the first one to uncover the chesronos in Eretz, the chesronos by someone else. It's one thing if you happen to find out about someone else's chesronos, okay, so you happen to find out. But when the Ra'ah is the Da'ah, you're the first. You're chalishing to find. You can't wait till you're swift to see the chesroinus of someone else. That's the bad midah.
That's why it says re'ebetuv,
the Yerushalayim. Re'ebetuv, the good, not the bad.
You should see it. Don't read about it and think you know.
Okay, let's go to another quick idva. This is what I know Rav Chol is going to like. I think we said something similar last year. We have the four different animals which are referred to the four malchios. The Dalet Malchios, our resident scholar, expert in the Dalet Malchios, is right here. Rav Chol, I have to be very careful what I say. We have the four different creatures. We start with the Gomel. Who does Gomel correspond to? Bavel. Then we come to the, what's the second animal? I forgot already.
The rabbit.
No, that's the Arneves. That's the third animal. The third animal, the second animal.
It's the hare.
That's the Arneves.
That's the Arneves.
No, that's the Arneves. The third animal. The Chazir is the fourth animal. The Shafan, right? The Shafan is the second animal. The Shafan. It's not really clear what it is. So we have the first three animals. The first three animals have in common, they regurgitate their cud. Okay, they regurgitate, but they don't have split hooves. The Torah describes the fact that they don't have split hooves for each one in a different expression. For the first, for the first animal, it describes, if the gomel, it describes it in the present tense. Let me read the words of the pasuk. Give me one moment to find it. Okay, so we start with the gomel. Ach ezel loisochlu mimale hagero mimarusei aparsa es hagamol ki male gerohu. It regurgitates its cod, but ufarsa enenu mafris. Those words, ufarsa enenu mafris, is that that's the present tense. Let's go to the second animal, v'es hashofon. Okay, whatever this creature is, ki male gerohu ufarsa lo yafris. The future tense. The third animal, the arneves. V'es arneves, ki malas gerohi ufar solo hifrisa. The past tense. Haloi dovar. The three animals that regurgitate their cud, but don't have split hooves, are described in different tenses. Present, future, and past. So we can suggest that being that these three animals refer to the first three of the Dalet Malchios, first Bavel, then is Modai, Parasu Modai, and then is Yavon, reveals to us the primary objective of the Dalet Malchios in their opposition, in their the tsar they brought upon Klal Yisrael. Bavel, who was Bavel Nebuchadnezzar, destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. What was, now, I'm just throwing out loose ideas, these are raw ideas for you to elaborate upon. What was Nebuchadnezzar's goal? Was he trying to rewrite history? That Klal Yisrael never occupied, never lived in Eretz Yisrael?
No
such thing. Was Nebuchadnezzar focused on the future of Klal Yisrael?
No.
Not necessarily. Nebuchadnezzar, he just wanted, he was jealous of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Adam Elo Elyon. I also want to be a God. Nebuchadnezzar, I'm suggesting, based upon this, his problem was the present. His problem wasn't the future. His problem wasn't the past. His problem was I'm just throwing in a loose idea. The fact that it says it Beloshen Hoive tells us this has to be further developed. The focus was on the present. Now let's go to Parasamodai. Parasamodai, were they trying to rewrite history that we never lived in Eretz Yisrael? Definitely not. What were they trying to prevent? That we should not rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. They were trying to destroy our future. The second of the three creatures is the shofan. The shofan is malegera, but the way it describes the hooves ufar so lo yafris, the future tense. The hooves, the focus is the future. Klal Yisrael should not have a future. Ach, Ashverosh, you can't build a Beis HaMikdash. No more build a Beis HaMikdash. When Haman came to destroy Klal Yisrael, what did he say? What did he want? He said, he came to all the children. He came to the Zemedrash that says, I'm going to start with the children. And Mordechai, when he came to get Mordechai, Mordechai was teaching the children the Mincha. And when the children saw Haman coming, the children ran. Because the children knew, Chazal say, they were going to be the first. Because the children are the future of Klal Yisrael. Then we come to Yavon. This is very clear as day. Yavon didn't want to destroy our future. Well, Yavon said, you can live, you can do whatever you want, you can even live in Eretz Yisrael. You can be a secular nation. But we want to be oiker, the legacy of your past. We don't want you to carry into the future the legacy of your history. We want to rewrite history. You're not holy. There's nothing special about you. You're just a nation like all other nations. We want to be oiker, the giving of the Torah. We want to uproot the past. I think there's a lot of truth to that. Yavon's focus was the past. You can remain. You can be a nation, but a different type of nation, because we're going to undo what existed in the past, and that will mainly change
Greek culture,
but no longer recognizing the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
It's research, you know, it's trying to prove that the Torah is existence, it was written by.
But it wasn't to take away our existence. You can be a nation, you can be a secular nation. So we have over here a little bit, I think there is a little bit of truth in what we're trying to suggest. The Medrash says these four creatures, then it comes the Chazir. Chazir is a different creature, that's Edom. Edom, according to many, is a conglomerate of all three.
Equal or greater.
Agreed than all three, which means that Edom, if we take this idea, we break it up into its parts, there's just the present, the past, and the future. We have to protect ourselves from all three. protect ourselves in the present, protect ourselves in the, for the future, and protect our past as well. Each thing is deserving of its own special shmira. Okay, just to conclude, I just want to say okay, just one last thing, just last thought to conclude with is that the middle of the Torah is Daroish Darash Moshe. Daroish Darash Moshe is the middle. This one is the one just I brought, actually brought in the Sefer just to show this to you. This is one of my favorite Verloch. It's not the thing I want to tell you now, but how could it possibly be that Daroish Darash Moshe is the center of the Torah? It's not. Take a computer. I don't have all the numbers for you. But the Rosh Darash Moshe is not the center. Chazal did not know that the Rosh Darash was not the center. How can they say it's the center? How can they say Vav the Gochen is the center? Vav the Gochen is not the center. So there's a very... There's a beautiful Vard, and the Vard is that in the Torah, how many times do we have two words which are identical in spelling next to each other? 89 times. Haremes, Haremes al Huadama. Haremes, Haremes are two words which are identical in spelling, which mean Zera, Zerua. Zera, Zerua. Noach, Noach. Shiva, Shiva. Remes, Romes. Okay, go. Vayigdal Ho'ish, Me'od, Me'od. If you go through the entire Torah, you will discover exactly 89 times in the Torah are there two words that are back to back that have exactly the same spelling. Sometimes even one word is the end of the last pasuk, and the next word is the beginning of the next. Now, if there are 89 expressions in the Torah that are double, what's the middle number? 45. What's the 45th reference where the two words are exactly the same? Daroish Darash. Daroish Darash comes out a whole new meaning. When Chazal said that Daroish Darash is the middle of the Torah, it does not mean count all the words of the Torah and discover which one is the middle. It means Daroish Darash is the middle of the Torah and take all of the words that are kfulos, Daroish Darash is the center.
So what's the significance of having, what's the big significance that it's kfulos?
Of being kafal, I don't know.
We just not be kiyim in the chaser mole.
Chaser mole. Okay. What about vav de gachoin? So the same idea is used for vav de gachoin. How many oisiois mishunois? How many oisiois mishunois are there in the Torah? Now there are different traditions. There are 17, large and small. The first letter of the Torah is a big base, Bereshis. Okay, I'll give some other examples. Avraham, Behibaram has a small hay. Okay, Valiv Kaisa. Avraham went to cry for Sarah. Valiv Kaisa has a small chaf. Katzti b'chayai, maybe no schet, a small kuf. Noitzer, by the Yud Gimel Midos Harachanim, Noitzer is a large noit. Okay, so on and so forth. There are 13 letters. So if there are 13 letters, which one is the middle letter of the 13 letters?
Gimel of
Gachain. The Vav.
The
Vav of Gachain. The Vav of Gachain is the middle of the 13 Oisiois Mishuna. So when Chazal says it fits perfectly, you can't do better than this to explain the middle of the letters. This certainly fits very well. Okay, but one on more, when you were asking, one on more homiletic approach, what is the significance in Darosh Darash being the center of the Torah? Well, what is the subject of Darosh Darash? Moshe Rabbeinu comes to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mishkan, and he sees that the Sor Shel Nachshon was eaten. There were three karbonos that were offered on that day, Yom HaShmini. There was the Sor Shel Nachshon, and there was the Sohir of the Miluim, and there was the Sohir of Rosh Chodesh. Three Seirim. Two of the three were eaten. The Sohir of Nachshon Ben Aminadav was eaten, and the Sohir that was unique to the Miluim was eaten, but the Sohir of Rosh Chodesh was not eaten. It was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and they offered the carbon chatos, the sohir, for Rosh Chodesh, and it was completely burnt. It was not consumed by the Kohanim. So Moshe was very disturbed. Doroish Dorash Moshe. Why were these two eaten, and was this one not eaten? What's the difference between the sohir of Nachshon and the Miluim and the sohir of Rosh Chodesh? So Aaron said to him, the answer is very simple. because we're aveilim. A terrible tragedy has happened. We're oinin him. And just because we're allowed to do the avod does not necessarily give us the right to eat the kodshim. The only exception is kodshei shah, nachshain, and the miluim is a one-time deal. It's once in history will these korbanos be offered. So therefore, there's an exception. It can be eaten even in the state of aninus. But Rosh Chodesh, listen, so we're not going to eat it this Rosh Chodesh, but we'll eat it next Rosh Chodesh and the following Rosh Chodesh. It's kodshei doiros. There's a difference between kodshei shoah and kodshei doiros. So the homiletic message is, what is the pnimius of the Torah? When you study Torah, when you live a life as an observant Jew, what is the center message a person has to focus on in matters of holiness? And the answer is, you have to differentiate between the present, the kodshei shoah, and the kodshei doiros. Everything that you do in life, there are things that you're doing for today. You have an obligation to have a religious experience every single day of your life, but you also have to plan for the future. Kodshei doros. There are holy matters that are l'shah, and there are kodshei, there are holy matters that are l'doros. The challenge is to know how to differentiate. What's good today may not be good tomorrow. And what's good tomorrow is not what's good today. Anything that we do, we observe a technique in Avodas Hashem that's good today. It's not necessarily was the reason we change. You have to do certain, but there are certain things you have to realize never change. There are things that are kodshei, that are sacred, that cannot be tampered with, which are kodshei doros. The balance between the needs of the time versus things that cannot be changed, which preserve the kedusha of Klal Yisrael Doros, is the penimius HaTorah. It's some of the greatest challenges that Talmidei Chachamim face in making decisions in dealing with issues, Torah issues. With that, may you all have a wonderful Shabbos.